Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, this morning, we worship and we adore you. Thank you for the first Sunday of the year, first Sunday in this month of January. Thank you for life, the life that we have. And thank you for your grace that abounds over our life. Thank you for even this privilege to be in your presence. We pray that, Lord, you will set us forth. You will send us on. You will energize us and give us something to stand on where our relationship with you is concerned this year. I pray that, Lord, you will minister to our hearts. You affect our lives. And that none of us will leave this place the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for the changes, even in the mindset. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Amen. Wow, you may be seated, please. Welcome to church, the first Sunday of the year, first Sunday of the month, first Sunday in this 2015 year. Before I forget, we're starting our yearly fast, isn't it, on the 12th of January? Right? Excited about that. For 21 unbreakable days. So from the 12th of January, for 21 days, we're going to fast and pray. All right? It's a good thing to do, isn't it? It's a great thing to serve the Lord. That's the title of my message this morning. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It's good to fast. Fasting is good. Even people fast for health reasons. You know, so we are fasting for health and spiritual and all kinds of self-control reasons also. One of the things that fasting does is it keeps you in control. Some people can't control themselves. You are an example of somebody who cannot control themselves. You didn't say amen. You. Yeah. You can't control yourself. Yeah. And it doesn't take me any depth to know that you cannot control yourself, because the scripture tells me that self-control is a fruit of the spirit. It means that a tree will have to be big, a tree will have to grow before it brings forth fruit. When I see you have not grown at all. You look big, but you've not grown. Spiritually, you are not. I tell you. Because you cannot give me 50 scriptures now. I was telling the young guys to start this game. When they meet, they should do a challenge by scriptures. Why is that when they meet, they talk about stupid things? If Jack Joe was here, he would slap you. Some people didn't get it. They don't live in Guyana. That's what I'm saying, that people are not mature. People have not grown. So I know that because you have not grown, self-control is definitely going to be a problem for you. Isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, you see, even old people are even saying that. Physically older people are saying self-control is a challenge. So on the 12th of January, we start our 21-day fast. Some of you have never fasted 21 days before. Our fast is not very easy. 4 to 7, 9 to 12, or 5 to 8. We're done. 70 hours. 70 hours. 70 hours. So if it's 3 hours every day for 21 days, it's 60, what? 63. So you have to do the 7 hours with an all night. What do you think? Yeah, so we'll do 70 hours of prayer for between the 12th and is it 1st February, something like that? Something like that. Are you with me? So tell your friends, put it on Facebook. Everybody, let everybody know that we are about to start our yearly fast. But this morning, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. I want to go back to Exodus chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. Exodus chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Now, we are saying that it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Because when you serve the Lord, Ikuna, when you serve the Lord, God does not make you work with rigor. Come on now, come on. When you read the Bible, you will think that it is the Israelites who were being treated unfairly. But look at you. Look at me. Look at the countries we live in. Look at the kind of thing we have to do to get money. You'd be surprised that even boys will dress like girls and go to a certain cathedral and work with rigor for some small money that you can sell water on the road and get. And even when you are selling water on the road, then a certain minister will say that you are on government reserve and that he's going to remove all of those people from the government reserve. Let me tell you that if you are going to live in this world and give yourself to this world and serve the systems of this world, they are going to take you through hard labor and rigor and cruelty. And that's what God is saying, that let my people go so that they may serve me. God sent Jesus Christ into this world to deliver you and I from serving the devil with rigor and to serve him with gladness and with joy. This is us, Egyptians. Or Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of the devil. Look at what they were doing. They made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. This is what is happening. You see, in the days, the Egyptians were one of the most civilized people many, many, many years ago. The pyramids they built, the pharaohs, the way they buried them and all of that, some of them you can find them up to today. Very, very, very high-tech people without computers. In those days, their development was in more of buildings. The Bible says in mortar and in brick. Mortar and brick was the labor of the day. Now, mortar and brick is not the main thing. People sit in offices, cross their legs, and they use computers. There's no hard labor in it. In the days in Egypt, it was hard. So, what you have to think is that in the days, that was the order of the day. That was what they used to work. That was the type of labor they were involved in. In our days, we also have our kind of work we do. So whether you are in Guyana, or you are in London, or you are in America, or you are in Canada, or you are in Germany, or you are in wherever, Kenya, you are in Australia, The Bible says that the world, which is Egypt, if you serve in Egypt, you will serve with rigor, you will serve with cruelty, you will be spent. I have a neighbor. He's an old man. He just recently moved to live there. He moved from America. Why? They have spent him. So in his dying days, he's run away. It's like, I ain't able no more. He has a house. All of a sudden, I saw they were doing some, they were coming, you know, it was a house that was on still. So the bottom, they were doing some fixing. Hey, what's happening? Not knowing he and his wife were coming back down. And I think he's very weak. He doesn't even walk properly. So you hardly see him. But I know he's there because I hear people say, Uncle! 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 I say, hey, this man is still in the place. The wife has gone back because, you see, it's very difficult to leave Egypt. Who should work for them when you leave? Who should do the work? Who should they slave out when you want to leave? So they can't let you go. There is something that I don't think we do that much here. But in Africa, in West Africa, in Ghana, where I was born, we are very much into visa, American visa lottery. You don't do it that much. I don't know why you don't do it. Used to. It's one of the most easiest ways to go to America. Especially if you want to go and live there. So in Ghana, we do a lot of it. Lottery. You just put in your application and they select a number. The American government gives every year gives about 10,000 to 20,000 visas to professionals outside America to move in to come and work in America. It's even more. Maybe I don't think I have my figures correct. It's more than that. So what happens is that if you are a carpenter, if you are an engineer, are you looking at me? I'm the one preaching. I'm an engineer. You are a doctor. You're a pharmacist. You're a nurse. Those kinds of people, if you win the lottery, they give you a visa. You go for an interview at the embassy. They look at your qualification, everything. It's not like you are going to stay. They want somebody who can contribute to the economy to come. They give you a visa and you go. That's what we do more in Ghana. This thing of my parents there, they put in for me 5 years. We ain't able with that. It's too long. We like to gamble. If I gamble this year, next year, at least 3 years time, I'll go. Rather than this 5 years that I have to wait. Ah, they are not calling you. You can't marry. You can't do this. If you're going to get married, they say, ah, you know those stupid things they do to us. You can't or even marry because you're expecting a visa to go to a place to be a slave. That's the life people want. But God is saying that, let my people go, that they may save me. They may serve me. God told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. Let him go so he will serve me. The people I have created, I created them to serve me in the first place. I want them back in that place. Let them serve me. God is telling us in 2015 that he wants us to serve him. Amen. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to be mindful of spending time with him. Than out there. He wants you to be mindful of the type of job you have. That job that takes you away from God and from church. Your shift work that you have, your so-called shift work. If you ever worked at KFC, where is KFC today? Chickadee. Chickadee, Chicky V, Chicky W. Yeah. Gone. When they employ you, you work, shift.
It's because of my work.
No, God is saying that he wants to deliver you from that. Building bitter with hard bondage in mortar. That some of you, you can't even take a day off. When you ask for a day off, your boss doesn't want to give it to you. How come? Who owns you? You own your life or your boss owns you?
You see, my wife, she's a nurse by profession.
When we used to live in Europe, when we were looking for money, I wouldn't mind. She'd go on night duty. I have to sleep on the bed alone, cold. We're looking for money, Lin. So I said, no worries. You go bring the cheddar. Come and see me in the morning. My children were little. In the morning, I will bath all the two girls and put pampers on them. Was I plaiting their hair? What a shock. Fix them up. Put them these thick stockings they wear for the cold. Put them a jacket. Feed them. Put them in the car. Put them in the back of the car. Drive them. This one here to the babysitter. This other one here to the babysitter. Before I go to work, by the time I get to work, I'm sweating. Hey! In the cold. You've been in traffic 1 hour. Hey! When you close, she has to sleep and go back for night. So when you close, you have to go around the babysitters again and take them. Sometimes I'm home with them all the time. I said, we came here looking for money. So that's all right. So when we took the challenge to come to Guyana, I called her and said, sweetie, you got to find another work to do. Because we are leaving Egypt, we are going to Canaan, we don't do shift work. You don't understand what I'm saying? I cannot come to Guyana to serve God and allow my wife to go and work in the night. For how many dollars? We left the money to come here. So even if she has to say, me, I wanted her to be a housewife. She doesn't want to be a housewife. I prefer a housewife. I prefer any day. I prefer, Sister Charlene, I prefer a housewife any day. It's nice. Sister Charlene, she's my sister. She's my sister. I prefer a housewife any day. Yeah. What's the use of a woman who goes out to work? When you need her in the house, you can't find her. She has to come from work before you can have access to her. What kind of life is that? Hey, Mary, think about it. Hey, what kind of wife is this that, you know? Yeah, but you see, we are living in Egypt, so it's enslaving. You have to stay. Even some of the wives even work half. The time the wife is coming home from work, you are wondering, what's this?
Is our year of serving the Lord.
You see, the nicer your job, the more slave you become. The higher your rank, even the more slave you also become also. You compare it and see.
Yeah, look at it, wherever.
You work.
But what people forget is that when you die, you now face the one who gave you life, who you didn't spend time with him. And now he's asking you, why didn't you spend time with him? He said, no, in heaven, you can't scratch your hair because you won't have a hair. You can't skin your teeth because there can't be any teeth to skin.
We've got it all wrong, you know. We are allowing the system to use us in so-called exchange for money. Money that we never have enough of. You know what I do when I get money? I put it somewhere. And I take my mind off it. Because it can make you do all kinds of things. So anytime I get any, I put it somewhere and I think about it. Yeah. I just got some money the other day. I've hid it somewhere. I'm still thinking what to do with it.
There are a lot of things to do with it. I'm just taking which one. Which one will be the immediate? Uh-huh. Otherwise, my car need two tires in front. The tires have gone down. I can buy the tires. Yeah. How much? Yeah, mine is even more for one. Your car is a small car. My car is an executive VIP car. Yeah, no, mine is quite higher. Yeah, if you go to car care, you even buy even more high. Ladies and gentlemen, the world that we think we belong in is a slave environment. Anything that you think you are gaining, it is in exchange for a certain kind of bondage. If you're a businessman in Guyana, you have to be dishonest. If you're a business person here, you will have to be dishonest. You can ask Brother Calvin. When you order something from him, he says next week. And next week is always next week, isn't it? You heard that before, right? Ask for next week. It's Brother Calvin's phrase. Next week. You should ask him. Yeah, no. I said, nice Christian brother. When he says next week, it should be next week. But you see, ask for business. It brings all kinds of things. Sometimes, let's say you have a product and somebody is giving you even more for it than what somebody is giving you. You're a businessman. You can't say, let me give it to the one who's giving me less money. Why do we do this? You do this because of money. So then the person is the one who you promised this week, but somebody has brought in more money. So you say, you know what? Okay, you good. And then you come and tell the other one, so you know what? Something. So you give me another next week. Yeah. So if you're going to live in this world, you're going to live like people of this world, you're going to be in the bondage that the Israelites were in Egypt, like how people are doing their living their lives in this world, you will be in bondage. But God wants us to serve Him. And it is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It is a... When were you born again? A great thing
to serve the Lord.
It is a great
thing. Serve the Lord.
It is a great thing.
It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a great thing. And we are looking at what are some of the reasons that justifies the fact that it is a great thing to serve the Lord. I will not advise you to take any job that will take you away from your church. I will not advise you to go on it. All of you nurses who are training to be nurses, you better try and go up, so that you can have a Monday to Friday work rather than going in the night, in the day, in the this, in the that. They slave you. And above all, you also kill people. You are being trained to come and kill people. Me, I think that at Georgetown Hospital, they sacrifice the pregnant women. I think it's a sacrifice. Because they can't tell us the reason why, and they cannot fix it. I think there's a sacrifice going on in that place. Especially when Hindus run a place, you must know that there's always going to be something fishy about the place. Because Hindus are demons, they are the evil people. And so whenever they run a place, there's definitely going to be a different spirit there. So if you are going to the hospital, you really have to fast and pray. Because you are going into the den of lions. I tell you. Because for some of you, you may not have money to go to a private hospital. So you don't have a choice but to go to Georgetown. So when you go, you got to fast and pray. You have to make some declarations that in the name of Jesus, I'm coming back whole. I'm not coming back with the scissors in my belly. Yeah. I think I read a story about a lady who in her 18 years had something in her stomach. Called her. Yeah, scissors in her stomach. Is this the system you want to serve? I'm not preaching laziness in your life. I'm preaching serving God. Just do what you have to do to just be able to live your life, but spend more of your time in doing something for God. Spend more of your time in the house of the Lord. Spend more of your time in working for the Lord. Yeah. And that's what I'm doing. I live my life serving God. I don't report to anybody. People sometimes want me to report to them, but I don't report to anybody. I don't go to any work and put my fingerprint to clock the time I came in. I work for the Lord all day long. I mean, can you believe that you are working 24 hours, but it's not burdensome. It's not a frustration. If you're a medical doctor and you're on call, they can call you anytime, including when you are making love to your wife. They can call you. They can call you. Is that? No, you can't say just now. You can't go. Yeah. You have to stop in the middle of things and go. Yeah. No, somebody told me a story. It says that, you know, myself and my husband were, you know, busy. And they were living at the parents' home at that time. And then the mother came to call the husband. He said, to her surprise, the husband jumped off. Yeah. To go and attend to the mother. I said, you see, that's why God says you must leave father and mother. Yeah, you don't want to listen to the Bible. You want to live with father and mother. When mother comes to call him, he gets up. Can you believe it? I've never heard something like that before. It's a history. Guinness Book of Records. You are busy with your wife and then your mother comes to knock on the door, call you, and then you get up. I say, sweetie, I come in just now. Hey! You, I don't want to talk too much about it. We are in church, but you think about the whole thing. Yeah. God wants us to serve Him. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Why is it a great thing to serve the Lord? Number one, for you, number one, it is a great thing to serve the Lord because it is an honor. It is an honor. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. It is an honor. It is an honor to serve the Lord. You see, there are some people when you serve, your life changes. For example, if you have the privilege to serve President Ramotar as against seven who? C.N. Sharma. I'm sure there's a difference. Isn't it? It would be an honor for... Why do people take pictures with the president? Even a picture of the president looks like a breakthrough. It looks like that. Yeah. Bishop, when he was preaching this message, said that one day he was passing through Dubai airport. He said, from nowhere, somebody was kneeling down in front of him. The person said, man, I don't know where I'll get this privilege ever again. Bishop said, please get up. We are at the airport, get up. He said he had an envelope with money to just bless him. Why? Is it because he's a medical doctor? One of our pastors who
is a missionary to one of the countries, African countries. He told us that. He told us some time ago. He said the chief justice's wife comes to his church. You see the pastor, how high he is, how tall he is. You get it? He's very tall. Yeah? He's short. And the chief justice's wife. Big, I mean, these are people when they come to church, they come with drivers. Sometimes with security bodyguards and all of that. It is only in the church and serving God that can make a small, short man pastor tell a chief justice's wife to kneel down, let me pray for you. It got to be only when you are serving the Lord that you can tell somebody to go on your knees. For example, if ever I get a person or whoever wants me to pray for them, I said, go down, go on your knees. At that time, there's no presidential anything. It's God that we are using now. So you got to go down. That's it. It comes because you are serving the Lord. It's an honor. The Bible says that let the elders that rule the head. Where's the head? Okay, you see the thing from there? Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy, not of just honor, double honor. But in every case, anybody who rules in the house of the Lord, who works in the house of the Lord, who serves in the house of the Lord, is liable or qualifies for honor. It's an honor. People don't understand. You see, there are so many people, they'll take money instead of honor.
It's true.
There are so many people, they'll take money instead of taking honor. Honor goes with a certain great reputation. You see, honor will open doors for you. Once you are seen, oh, no. Please come. Yeah. Now, by the grace of God, if I travel, or when I travel, and I come back, I can call somebody and say, please come and meet me at the airport. When I go, things go faster. When a person comes, things go faster. Because you can be in the line till kingdom come.
Yeah.
They treat you like a thief at the airport. You know, when you're coming by, it looks like you've gone to steal somebody's something you are bringing into the country. Because they want to see your bag and see what is inside. Everybody. They don't make any difference. It's very humiliating. What can I bring to the country that is so bad? Tell me, what can I keep in my 23 kilos or 45 pound luggage that will destroy Guyana? Tell me, please tell me that you cannot allow me to drag my bag out of the airport until you take it through a scanner. Ask yourself that question. When we have gold and diamond and we don't even know where it's going. That one, you can't even control it. But this is my small bag that I'm bringing. You want to see what is inside and tell me that I have to pay 5,000 for this thing that I'm bringing. Bondage. Rigor. Even when you travel abroad and you come back, they are saying that, hey, wait, what are you bringing? We need some of it. We want some of it. You can't bring things for to come and help yourself only and make yourself happy in your house. No, we gotta share. How much? Give me some. Buy. Give me some of the money. Give me paid it. By the grace of God, unless I don't get the person to come and meet me, I things move faster. Yeah, airport move faster. Passport move faster. Customs move faster.
It's an honor. Why? Because I'm Mr. Collins? No. Mr. Collins, you have to do so much. It's an honor to serve the Lord. Brother Sherwin, as you continue to serve the Lord, doors will open for you. You see these automatic doors? When you get to the door and it opens, there are going to be opportunities in this life that are going to be like the automatic doors. You'll get there and you'll be surprised that you are being treated like that. You'll be surprised. I tell you. It all comes by serving the Lord. That's why it's a great thing to serve the Lord. Are we not looking for opportunities and in a certain way, easy things in this life? Easy things that we don't know the price for? As we serve the Lord, things happen for us. Yeah, and we can take them some testimonies. Come. You, come. We want to take some testimonies as we go along. What has God done for you? Come. It's only me, because sometimes people think, oh, it's only the pastor who it's only the pastor who God blesses. Nah? Yeah, small boy. Yeah, 2 years. Isn't it too wonderful? Yeah, in your school. Oh, you are misbehaving now. I'll tell you, your sister is right behind you. And there's another one in the corner there. Eh? I'll ask them just now. Are you watching she? You bribing she with your eyes? Eh? Tell us what the Lord has done for you.
I used to live with my cousin. Yes, I used to live with my cousin.
How old is you?
40.
Hey, you sure?
Yes, sir. I'm 40 years old.
She doesn't look 40, does she? No. Wow. God is good. See, when you serve the Lord, you also look young. Because people don't know my age. They give me 30-something. Which is good. Yeah, but you know, looks are deceiving. Age is age. 40, yes, and you're living with your cousin.
Yes,
how can
sir.
A 40-year-old big woman live with a cousin? And when you go home, what happens?
Sometime when I go home, when I try to pray, my cousin will say I'm making too much of noise, and I always...
40-year-old big woman. Are you sure you're not 16?
No, I'm 40.
You're 40, go ahead. Living with a cousin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always want to go back where I came from, to Linden.
Yeah.
And then I said, Father, you see and you know that I want to be in Georgetown to serve the Lord. I don't want to go back.
Tell us some of the things you used to go through at your cousin's
sometimes
place.
Sometimes when I go home late in the night, I go without eating. I go in my bed just like that. I won't eat anything.
Why?
Or
you're a 40-year-old woman.
Yes, Rev. And sometimes my cousin might say, all day you went in church. You ain't eating church. Where you coming here looking in our pot for? I said, okay, so most of the time when I go home from church, I will just go in my bed and just sleep.
Even if you are hungry?
Yeah, even if I'm hungry, I go and I...
40-year-old woman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
Have you been locked out before?
No, I've never been locked out, but one day, my cousin friend, somebody go in his house and steal everything, and... They tell me I can't come in late anymore because they're afraid of people to come in and steal the things. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. I said, what will I do? And then I asked you permission to steal a couple of times. But then by I'm accustomed coming to church and going home late, I was uneasy. So I just continue to say, here, what has to happen will happen.
Because they
I
give
am
you,
coming to church.
They give you curfew. You can't come in after a certain time. 40 years old.
Yes, Rev.
Go ahead.
Yes, and time after time I would keep praying, And whilst praying, I'm making too much a noise. I said, Father, I am not giving up. I am going through this. This will make me strong. And eventually, one day I receive a call. Stating,
that was after the convention.
After the convention, Rev was thinking, preaching about
financial empowerment.
Yeah, financial empowerment. Uh-huh. And on the second night after the convention, I receive a call stating that you are Karen. I say yes. And a young lady said to me, I would like you to take care of my business and I will rent a place for you.
You pay rent or not? Faith. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Yes, my dear, go ahead. You just got a call out of the blue.
Yes, Rev. Just like
Do you know the person?
No, Rev.
You didn't know her from anywhere.
I didn't know her from anywhere.
Go ahead, my dear.
Yes, and I received the call, and then I said, no problem, I will do it. Because I always say that I don't want to work with nobody. I want to work with myself so I can get to serve Lord more. Find more time for God.
Yeah.
And eventually, the person came in. I am with the person right now in Redenu.
It's not a man, right? She's with. We say, I'm with somebody. Yeah. You guy needs you. Think that it's some banner or some man. It's a woman, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a woman. Uh-huh.
It's no, yeah. Don't let your mind go too far.
Yes. And I'm happy right now.
Yeah.
Thank God for blessing me with that.
So you're not paying rent?
I'm not paying.
You're working for somebody who has entrusted everything in your care.
Yes, Rev. She's right at the back here. Yes.
Wow. It is a great thing to serve the Lord.
Yes, Rev.
So all your sweat will be wiped away. If you serve God, because once you serve God, it's an honor. Once you serve God, one of the things he's also going to do that he's going to delight in your prosperity. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We'll take another testimony also. Yeah, I'm sure you should be able to find something that God has done for you as a result of you serving the Lord. If you don't have it, that means you probably are not serving. You are just liming and not serving. Marceline, come. You want to share your testimony? Come. Yeah, let your legs shake. Come. Psalm 35 and verse 27. When it is a great thing to serve the Lord because God will rejoice in your prosperity. Is it people think that people like to fight and work for their own prosperity? But you see, when you are a servant of the Lord, are you with me? When you are, pay attention, we'll get to the testimony. When you are a servant of the Lord, what happens is that you can't be a servant of a rich and a big and an important man, and when you get out, your clothes and your face and everything about you. Psalm 35. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Those who favor God's righteous cause. The Bible says that they should shout for joy and they should be glad. And he said, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. The Lord which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You see, God is not a God who, when you prosper, he's wondering whether it's drugs you're dealing with or what are you doing. See, people have that, isn't it? People like to ask you, what's this? They want to check you. They say, you are driving a vehicle, a re-migrant vehicle. Is it duty-free or what? Are you qualified for duty-free? People are always, they are nosy about where you got your money from. God is not a God like, God is happy. He takes pleasure. God wants you to do well. In fact, when you do well, when you prosper, God is happy because you are his servant. That's why I tell the husbands around here, your wife is a reflection of you.
Should I say it again? All the husbands, your wife, and how she looks, it's a reflection of you. Yeah. If your wife looks good, it means she's coming from a good home, a good husband, a good leader. We don't care the specifications and the technicalities. All we know is that you don't look like you are a stranger. Yeah, you don't look like you are a woman bandit. You don't look like you are what? Yeah, no, it's true. When we look at your wife, if you see somebody who takes pleasure in the prosperity of people who are linked to him, as Christians, I mean, and everybody around, even me, I in the church, you in the church, I want you to do well, because when you do well, it speaks of me. It speaks of the God we serve. It speaks of the church you are part of. That's why we're so concerned about your prosperity. Azaline, you have enough testimony, but tell us one of the highlights.
Amen.
Yeah, it's been a journey, isn't it?
Yes.
Go ahead. Journey.
I was living with my children's father for a number of years.
How many years?
We were together since from school.
How many years?
My eldest child is 30, so.
So you have been together for over 30 years?
Yeah.
Your child father for 30 years. Wow. Are you married to him?
No.
Okay. I thought he loved you, no?
Hey.
Hey, okay. Yes, go ahead, please. You who is living with your child father, you are 2 years together. Somebody is 30 years. Oh, your case will be different because you are young and you are sexy. All right. She wasn't young and sexy then. Okay, please go ahead. Lizzo! Go ahead, my dear.
Things get from bad to worse.
Things get from bad to worse.
I kept praying and asking God if let his will be done. Because at the time we had a convention, let your will be done. And during the convention, as I was praying, I would get this vision that we will not be together. And I keep fighting against it because I never believe in moving from man to man to man.
Man to man. So unjust. Go ahead, my dear.
Yes, so I stuck it out for a number of years.
No, it's the same thing. You see, Masli here is speaking on behalf of many of you Guyanese women. You get stuck up with a loser just because you don't want Bob Marley's music man to know. But maybe it's better to move from man and believe God for a real man. Go ahead.
It came to such a bad situation that he always told me that if I left him, he would kill me. So it would be a fight. And a fight, yeah. And a fight. The last incident we had, he picked up a sledgehammer to lash me. And the police came and took us down. We were in court. I even called pastor when they put me on $15,000 bail. I started to pray after pastor had the other convention so that I could get a home to live in, to move out. And while I was praying, I got this vision. There were two homes, but one house had a light going around it. So I didn't know where it was located. So I went to Diamond, where a friend offered me a home. And when I went, as soon as I got there, I said, this can't be it. So I told my daughter, she was with me, let's go back. And when I went back, went home. I keep praying. Then I went to a friend I know in Agricola. And she said, girl, you come again, but this house, like this house is sealed. She said, anyway, God do repairs and she can ask her husband. So while I was bathing in the next morning to go and look for another house, she called me and said, you don't got to go anywhere else. The house is for you.
It is a great thing to serve the Lord.
So I'm now living in the house in Agricola. Things is not as hard as I thought it would have been, wow, living by myself. Wow. It's much easier and much more relaxed.
God is talking to you. It's not going to be as hard as if you are living by yourself. It's not going to be as hard. You don't have to be afraid to take that step. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. All of that is there. We don't see people who move out. It's not a common thing around here. So people are very afraid to move out and be on their own. It's like, if I go, what happened? I need a man. I need that. All kinds of things we have around us in our society. It's your testimony. Go ahead.
So I'm much more pleasant. I can speak to people. I can laugh with people.
Wow.
I don't have to study. I can go home whatever I want to go for church, because that used to be a big issue. And I'm much more happier. And all I wanted was peace of mind and to do what I want to do. Because all my life has been pleasing everybody else except myself. So I can tell you, please yourself and please yourself.
Wow. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Wow.
To say thanks very much to Ref for watching me, for helping me through all my struggles. And may God continue to bless you.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege. God bless you too. Wow. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. One thing that Marcy didn't say, and I'll say it for her, is that one day there was an opening somewhere, a temporal job somewhere, for a couple of weeks. And I was called. What an honor. Share. I was called. You see, before I continue, let me say this. You are in this church. When we say things, you don't listen to us. One of the things that you don't listen to is when I say, if somebody shows interest in you, you must tell me. You don't have an idea. I know in this church who has HIV and who doesn't have HIV. I know. Like the person who has HIV, and don't come and tell us about it, thinking that the pastor won't mind your business. So I was called about this opening. And in fact, the person who even called had a suggestion in their mind about who they felt probably would need this opportunity. But I said, no. I know of a better option. And this was an opening in a place where, just for the few weeks, it was giving me a lot of money. In fact, Maslene told me that when she went for the interview and they told her the salary for that few weeks, she opened her mouth. She said, this is my usual, how many, 2-3 months salary I'm going to get in this few weeks. So I personally said, I prefer this lady to take that opening rather. I didn't choose Yolanda. I didn't choose Rosie. I didn't choose Michelle. I didn't choose Figuera. But she was still on the motorbike in those days. me and she only understand what we're talking about. And for a short period, God even blessed her financially. Now, when I look around, and I still believe it, that there are, in our church, God gave us particular families
God gave our church a certain, a particular group of people in a family. The first one is the Rankin family. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. I believe that one of the families also that God gave this church to was Marceline's family also. Yeah. But it's not everybody who is giving something that they like or they respect. So you take it or you leave it. But there's one thing. Marcy used to beat men. She'll beat you right now. Hey, Lloyd, if you try, she'll beat you. Oh, Mr. Samson, maybe Mr. Samson rather. He said, Nichelle is not smiling anymore. No, when I personally invited Marcy to come to the church. And I thought she wouldn't come because she wasn't nice to me when I invited her. But she came. And for all the few members of her family who have been in this church, we've had problems with them. They've left with all kinds of things. She, the one who was supposed to be the bad one, she has stayed in this church for all these years. I can assure you of that one. I tell you, I can testify to that one. And I believe that somehow, some way, God saw that she's been coming. She says sometimes, she says when she gets here, then there's a certain sadness that comes over her when she comes. You can't usher Marcy to any seat but the back. Calvin has given up ushering her. She said the church is for her. She got choose wherever she wants. You can't make Marcy go and sit anywhere. I mean, she will come. One day we're asking ourselves, so why would she come to the church if she doesn't want to be ushered? You see, next Sunday we see walking quietly as well. Come and sit right at the back. When she enters, no one, she sits there. All these years, she's been coming. She's been coming. She's not at the forefront. She's not doing praise and worship. She's not playing drums. She's been coming. This is a testimony to show you that you don't really also have to be in front, really. Just your heart and your persistence and your commitment and your dedication and your frequency, your faithfulness to God, even in attendance. God will bless you. And when you prosper, anything that will come in your way to prevent you from being prospered, God will say, hey, out of the way. That's my servant. She needs to prosper. He needs to prosper. Because you are somebody who is serving God, He will not let you be destitute. That's why David said, he that keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. As long as our master, our father, and our king is alive, we will not be poor. We will not be homeless. We will not be naked. We will not go poor. We will have food to eat. As long as God is our God and we serve Him, our prosperity is going to be intact and it's going to rejoice as we prosper. God is not going to question how you got your clothes. Hey, every Sunday she changes her clothes. I wonder what she's doing. God is not questioning that. God is happy with you changing your clothes. God is happy with you prospering. That's what the Bible says. He's only happy with those who serve Him when they prosper. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. Even me, when I got this, my old car. My car is old. It's 12 years this year. Just that everything around me is nice. That's why. But it's an old car. It's a blessing. A 12-year-old car, it could be. When it's coming, you could have that also. When I got this in my car, the police officer in charge of Isla Penitence, when they asked her to come and arrest me and take me to the police station, and she came and she couldn't take me because I refused to be taken. Went back, say, oh, he's driving some million-dollar car. Hey, he's not sad that I'm driving a 12-year-old. In fact, I think he's sad that I'm driving a 12-year-old car. It needs to go now. I have to give it to Joshua so that I get a better one. Yeah. He takes pleasure. So, what, Tricia, when we serve the Lord, He prosper us. He will. I think that Marcy's testimony is a very classic Guyanese woman's testimony. This year, I'm going to focus on women a lot. We're going to have a women's conference very soon. Yeah. I'm going to spend more time with a woman. Not forgetting the men. Yeah, because you can't solve the problem by just fixing only one part. You got to solve both sides, isn't it? So we're going to spend time also with the men. Speak like men. I had a story, 30 years of staying with a man who says he loves you but never married you. You are 3 years now. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, I pray for you. Do it well. Don't sit on no motorbike, you know. Motorbike that gets accident, you break your hand also. Hey! It is a great thing to serve the Lord. My time is up. Stand to your feet, please. Oh, some people are not happy. Yeah. It's an honor. No, sometimes when people see you, they say, are you a doctor? I said, I'm a spiritual doctor. You saw something, but you didn't see it well. But at least you saw something. In fact, there's a mechanic when I go there. He called me a doc. I don't say anything. Because it's too much explanation. So he said, doc. One day, I almost got myself into trouble. He started explaining something about his son to me, about some sickness. But the Lord delivered me. Yeah, it wasn't too complicated to, you know. So I just gave a general suggestion. So I don't go to the mechanic anymore because he'll bring his medical things. And meanwhile, I'm not a doctor. Yeah, but he when he sees me, he says, doctor. Doctor, I said, oh no, you've missed it. I'm a far better. I'm in a far better profession than a doctor. Yeah, I'm a preacher. The other day, I was driving. I even forgot that my driver's license had expired. It's mine, right? Because this is your birth date, right? So all that time I was traveling, I think I was in Essequibo. The Sunday when I came back, I went to Trinidad. I came back and I went to America. Oh, I forgot. So during the holidays, I was driving and a policeman stopped me and he said, your license. I think it was something on the road that I didn't pay attention to. So I was, not knowing he was behind me. So he said, your driver's license. I have it. So I went to show it. When he opened it, he said, the thing expired. I said, what? He said, look, November 21st. He said, Kitty Police Station. I said, oh. He said, what do you do? Normally, I don't like answering when they ask me that question. It has nothing to do with what you are talking about. I said, I'm a pastor. He looked at me like that. He said, Princess Street? I said, no. They ask a policeman, what are you going to do for the pastor? All right. Drive back home. Don't go anywhere. Drive back home. So, where is home? Where I'm going is home. Normally, I don't mind. I don't want to answer questions about myself. I mean, if you're going to take me in. And what do you want to know what I do and all of that? That's why when I said, Pastor, it's a Princess Street, they want to find something to say.
I obtained mercy. The next working day, I went to fix it quickly. You like them things, man. Yeah, it's not difficult to renew a driver's license. I mean, why do you drive without one? It's an honor. So what do you do for pastor today? He looked at me and he said, drive home. I said, okay, so where is home? Where I'm going or where I have to go back to? It's a great thing to serve the Lord. Oh, I said, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, you are here this morning. You are not saved. You are not born again. You don't know whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. You want to say, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. First Sunday of the year. You see, you can't serve God if you don't belong to the house of God. And to belong to the house of God, to belong and be part of God's family, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. The whole thing starts with a born again experience. Pastor, please pray with me. If I die right now, I'm not sure where I would go. I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to be sure today and for the rest of my life that I have Jesus in my heart. If you're here like that, I want to pray with you. If you want me to pray with you, just lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'll do so. Pastor, please pray with me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, just your right hand up high, and I'll do so. Pastor, please, I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, just your right hand. While every eye is closed, every head is bowed. Pastor, please, lead me to the cross. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you're here like that, just your right hand, and I'll pray with you. Father, I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.